Exodus chapter 11. Let me read you some of this passage. Now keep in mind, 9 judgments have fallen on Israel. Have fallen on Egypt. And the last several of them have not touched Israel in the land of Goshen. So God could show the people of Egypt and the king, Pharaoh, that I am the one doing it, because no one can bring all the lice into one area or all the locusts in one area and keep them out of this area. So that you look at the property line of Goshen, there's not one locust on this side, and they're stacked up on that side. What is it about that? God did it. So you'll notice, if you would, Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And afterwards he will let you go. And he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Not only will he let you go, he's going to throw you out. He's going to say, get out of here right now. Well, I'm sure Moses is thinking, what in the world could this be? But he was already told in chapter 4 what it was. So I think Moses has been waiting for this 10th plague to come. Watch verse 2. Now I want you to see if you can picture in your mind, Moses goes to Pharaoh after 9 judgments. Remember, there's nothing green left in the whole country. The trees are broken down because of the hail that come. Fires hit and it's burned up. And the people said, don't you know, Pharaoh, that Egypt is destroyed? But yet, when stubbornness gets in our heart, it doesn't matter sometimes. We just don't do the right thing. And stubbornness is a terrible characteristic for anybody in this room, all of us. Now, all of us have a stubborn streak that depends upon how wide it is. We have to be careful of that, because stubbornness does not magnify the Lord. Humility does, but stubbornness does not. Now let's do this. Verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Hey, can we borrow some jewelry from you? And they said, look, you not only can borrow, you can have it. We just don't want you around here. So by that, the Egyptians were, the Israelites completely spoiled all the Egyptians. I mean, they went to them and asked for things. They were so afraid of their God and of the Jews, because God had made them so protected, that they just gave them everything they had. Anything they asked for, they gave it. So notice, if you would, verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. He's the one that called down fire from heaven. He's the one that called down, you know, and brought locusts. He's the one that sent the locusts away. He's the one that brought the frogs, sent the frogs away. So notice, if you would, in verse number 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, none nor shall be like it anymore. In other words, this is a one-time event. But every firstborn is going to die. And if I'd have been an Egyptian, I'd have died. How many in this room are firstborns? Unless you're in. All of us have been dead. Unless our parents would have done something to protect us. But the Egyptians didn't believe Moses. They respected him. But notice, if you would, verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israel. Now you'll notice, if you would, look down in verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So he said, look, Pharaoh's still not going to let you go, but he will after the 10th plague. Now, notice the outline. A, Roman number 1. Finally, God promised Pharaoh and his servants that at midnight, the firstborn in every home would die. Now watch this. A, Pharaoh had one final chance to repent. Look in verse number 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. Verse 5. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Now right there, I would have paused and said, whoa, wait a minute, Moses. What are you saying? Obviously, Pharaoh was not a firstborn, but he had one. You mean my firstborn's going to die, and everybody's firstborn's going to die, and every firstborn cow and donkey and camel's going to die in the land? He said, yep. Now, let me ask you this question. Notice in the outline. B, the people of Egypt also had a final chance to convince Pharaoh to let Israel go, but they didn't. Look in verse 5. And in verse number 5, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the male. That's the poorest of the poor. The maidservant that's behind the mill, that is nothing. Even their firstborn is going to die. Because everybody could use their influence to change your heart, Pharaoh. Notice verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people. Well, you know, and notice if you would, they gave the people, you know, to lend unto the Israelites. Well, he does. And notice, if you would, in verse number 4, he says, look, now speak to Pharaoh and speak to the people. Why didn't, look and see in the outline, Pharaoh still refused to let Israel go or believe the Lord would be able to slay all the firstborn. You mean you're just going to pick and choose throughout the whole country, everyone that's firstborn? Number 1, how are you going to know that? Number 2, how are you going to find them? Well, notice what he says. Neither Pharaoh nor his servants believe the Lord. And this is the next one I want you to think with me. As a result of their sin, now I outlined the sin. I put it in parentheses. No faith in the Lord, in God. Do you understand we don't trust the Lord? We've sinned against the Lord. A lack of faith is sin to the Lord. He wants us to trust Him. Well, notice the next one. Every house in Egypt had one that died, but no one died in Israel. Now let me ask this question. I'm going to go back to C and the second part. After he had seen all the examples of God's power, what a foolish choice. And notice D, not one person asked how to avoid his firstborn from dying. Why is it there wasn't one Egyptian when they looked out at the land of Egypt and it was destroyed? There was not one of them. 9 times Moses said something was going to happen. 9 times it happened. 9 times he got rid of it. And he walks in and says the 10th time, the firstborn in every household is going to die. Why didn't one of the servants, why didn't Pharaoh say, wait a minute, what can we do to protect it from happening? Well, Pharaoh knew, let my people go. But the people, why didn't they ask, what can we do? Is there anything we can do to prevent this? If Pharaoh says no, what can I do to protect my family? Not one person asked that. Now, I want you to notice, Roman numeral 2 is the answer to that question. God was setting this up so that everybody in the world would know God's plan of salvation. It is that the blood washes away sin. The blood protects you from destruction, and only the blood. Now, follow with me. Notice, if you would, chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Everything's going to start this month. Because this month you're going to get out of Egypt. Watch this. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now watch. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb. Now, you know that in all the land of Egypt and Israel, there were people that talked to each other. Now, you know that the Israelites said, well, you know, we're going to get a lamb. We're going to do this, this, and this. And I'm sure the Egyptians said, well, that's dumb. What good would that do? Well, it only does good because God said to do it. Okay? You know, why is it that we don't speak idle words? Because God said not to. Why is it we don't lie? Because God said not to. Why is it we don't commit adultery or immorality? God said not to. He is the one that makes the laws that we live by. Now, man makes laws too, but we understand and say, well, if I don't want to abide by the law, well, if it's one that God has said, then His word is the difference. And you notice they ignored it. God said, look, if you would, in verse number 4, notice what they said. This is 11:4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. Now watch what he's saying. He's telling the people, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die. Now, why didn't somebody say, go to the Israelites and say, is there anything we can do to protect ourselves? Well, ask Moses for us. We don't want our firstborns to die, but we can't change Pharaoh's mind. It's not like a great God that loves people to destroy us for our king's sake. Now, one person, Egypt, asked the question, what can I do to spare my firstborn son? I don't get that. Notice, Roman numeral 2, the Passover meant salvation to Israel. And notice, A, every family heard and learned what to do to save their firstborn in their homes. Remember, if an Israelite didn't do what was God said to them, their firstborn died. So they had to believe their God's words. Egypt didn't. And folks, that's the difference between heaven and hell. That's the difference between pleasing the Lord and displeasing the Lord, is believing His word to be true. And so the Egyptians simply said, we don't believe His word is true. We don't believe this is going to happen. But it's happened 9 times in a row. What is it you're missing? Do you realize if you went to Las Vegas and you said, I'm just going to gamble 9 times, and you knew the answer, you can break Vegas. But nobody asked the question when the whole country is destroyed after 9 events and the 10th one's coming, what can I do to avoid that? Now, notice if you would, the order. Number 1, go get a lamb. And watch this. 1, in the outline, on the 15th of the first month, the Lord would slay the firstborn of every home not protected by the blood of a lamb. We see that in the passage that he just read, chapter 11, verse 5. And it actually happened in chapter 12 and verse 29. Now, follow with me. Look in verse 2, in the outline, number 2. Each Israelite family was to select a perfect lamb by the 10th of the first month. Now watch. Notice if you would. In verse number 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A perfect lamb. It can't be one that's got a broken leg. It can't be one that's discolored. It can't be one that is sick. And you'll notice it says a male of the first year. And you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. It's got to be a first-year lamb. Now follow with me. John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, sees Jesus Christ walking, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. It's a reference back to this passage. They need a lamb in order to be spared of their firstborn. So follow with me in verse number 3. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Every family in a house had to have a lamb. Now notice in the outline, 2, each Israelite family was to select a perfect lamb. 3, they were to check and see if the lamb, if it was still perfect on the 14th day of the month. Now notice verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day. I don't want it sick. I don't want it scarred. I don't want it scratched up. You get him on the 10th, perfect lamb, put him up, take care of him for 4 days and make sure he stays perfect. Now, does anybody know why God wanted a perfect lamb? It was a picture of something. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. The perfect lamb for us. For God made him the perfect lamb, Jesus Christ on the cross, to be sin for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So God made his son the perfect lamb for us. John the Baptist recognized the way the Old Testament was written and the lambs that were given and Jesus Christ and said, behold the Lamb of God. Everybody in this room, to protect your firstborn, you got to have a lamb per family. Well, this is not a lamb per family. This is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin, not of your family, but of the world. And so now everything in the New Testament is fulfilled and comes to fruition. And this is the beginning of the Passover. Now follow with me. Number 4 in the outline. Then they were to slay the lamb and sprinkle its blood on the doorposts and the lintel. Now look with me, if you would. Verse 6. And you should keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Everyone kills their lamb. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They would take a hyssop bush, cut off a limb, put it in the blood, and take over to their doorpost, go outside their house, sprinkle it here, here, and here. And the death angel, whenever the Lord of heaven were to pass over, and if he saw the blood on your door, nobody died. I will pass over you. There the Passover was started. The Jews still celebrate the Passover, but not because of Jesus Christ. So they're still, as a nation, lost because they didn't connect the dots of the first Passover to God's Lamb that washes away the sin of the world. And that's why you and I come to Jesus Christ personally on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, your blood to pay my sin and wash it away. Would you forgive me of my sin? Now, most people don't understand the mechanism of salvation. They just understand they're supposed to pray to the Lord and he'll forgive them. And he will. But behind the scenes, the blood of Christ has washed away our sin. And it's permanent forever. You remember Sunday night we spoke about Jesus Christ on the cross. And his last 3 words were, it is finished. What's finished? All the sacrifices of all the lambs from this day forward forever. Why? Perfect blood washes away sin. Imperfect blood of the lambs covers sin. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews, right at the back of your Bible. Hebrews. Notice in chapter 9. Look, if you would, in verse 12. You might want to underline this, because what I'm trying to do is connect the Old Testament to the New Testament and let you see the plan of God. It's wonderful. It was on for 6,000 years. It's been that way. Notice, if you would, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The temple had the holy place in it. It was a perfect cube. And the priest went there once a year and offered a lamb's blood. Well, Jesus Christ said, I offer my blood to the temple in heaven. And it washed away sin for Moses in the past, all the way to Adam in the past, till the last man. All their debts paid by the blood of the lamb. And so the Egyptians didn't believe it. And all of them had a dead firstborn. The Israelites did believe it. And not one died. And that's the way it is still today. When someone puts their faith and trust in Christ, they never die. Oh, the body does, but the spirit lives forever. And so you and I have to learn to trust him. Now, follow along with me in verse number eight. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire, and unleavened bread, symbolizing no sin. Bitter herb they shall eat. Notice, if you would, verse number 10. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remain of it, if you can't eat it all, the whole lamb, then that which remain of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. You'll burn it up. So nothing's left. And you'll notice in verse 11, thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your clothes on, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, why do they have to have their clothes on, their shoes on? Because Pharaoh is getting ready to say, get out of my land right now. Because at midnight, every firstborn died. It wasn't 5 o'clock in the morning when everybody figured it out. Apparently, they were watching the clock until the firstborn collapsed. And then the word comes, get out of Egypt. And the people were already ready. God knew it. And so the Israelites got with their animals and marched out. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline. Number five. They were to roast the lamb, and everything they didn't eat was to be burned. That was God's plan. Six, they were to do it all on the night of the 14th and be fully dressed. What does every day begin with? What time of the hour? Midnight. 12:00 begins. 00:01 begins the first day. So the children of Israel, at midnight, the lamb died that next second. Then all of a sudden, the cry comes out. They begin to notice it. And the word comes to Israel, get out of here now. We don't want to see your faces anymore. They're already ready, shoes on, and they rolled out. Now notice, if you would, be in the outline. Every Israelite obeyed. Now, they obeyed on the 14th, knowing what was going to happen the first second of the 15th. Now, they had to have faith in the Lord. Well, they had to believe the Lord. The Egyptians didn't. Hence, the unbelievers die. The believers have faith. Their faith is counted to them for righteousness. And they go to heaven. So, notice, if you would, B, every Israelite obeyed and not one firstborn died. The blood saved them all. And it still does today. Now, if you'll notice over in Hebrews, we read a little bit of it Sunday night, but I didn't have as much time. I want you to notice Hebrews, if you would. Notice Hebrews chapter number 9. Notice, if you would. I want you to see this quick passage. Look in verse 7 of number 9. And into the second, that's the second, look up at verse number 4. Excuse me, verse number 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Okay? The first of the tabernacles, you went into the holy place where they offered all the lambs. They offered them daily. They offered the rams. And they had the burnt offering was there. And then past that was another large curtain. It sectioned off the perfect room, the cubed room. And it was the Holy of Holies. It's called the holiest of all. The priest only went in there once a year. So follow with me. Notice what it says in verse 5. If you remember Sunday night, I explained to you that over this altar, there are two cherubims, two angels with their wingtips touching. Well, notice if you would in verse 5. And over it, the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which now, of which we cannot now speak particularly. These guys never saw it. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, I didn't see it. I can't particularly describe it to you. I'm just telling you what it was. And notice this in verse number 7. And into the second, the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. If he did, he died. Which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. And notice, if you would, we know that neither by the blood of goats and calves, in verse 12, but by his own sins he entered into once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. His blood was perfect and it lasts forever. Now, notice when, if you would, turn in your Bible in verse 22 of chapter 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, is no remission. So the currency of God is shed blood. The Old Testament, they shed the bloods of lambs, which make no evil decisions. And that blood was considered an atonement. It covered sins. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. But they do cover them. There's an atonement. Notice if you would, chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image, it wasn't the image of Christ, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It can't take away your sin. Does anybody remember where the thief on the cross went when he died? Paradise. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now we know from Luke chapter 16 that paradise was visible from hell. But there was a great gulf fixed. So they couldn't go back and forth. But when Jesus died, the debt was paid for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, who were in a perfect place called paradise, but it was not heaven until the perfect lamb died. And then because their sin was washed away, paradise was emptied and then went to heaven. So notice, with, if you would, in the Old Testament, everything was covered over, waiting for the perfect lamb. Jesus came and paradise was emptied and they went to heaven. So notice with me, if you would, now chapter 10 and verse number 10. By the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times do you have to get saved? What's it say? Once for all. It's a permanent salvation. Why? Look, if you would, in verse number 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because the blood of Christ finishes it. Look at verse 18. Now, where remission of these is, remember the goats and calves covered sin. They didn't remit them. They didn't remove them. The blood of Jesus removes them. So they were sort of like put in escrow until the perfect lamb came. That's the reason John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew what was happening. That's the reason he said, look, I shouldn't baptize you. You should baptize me. And Jesus said, look, it fulfills all righteousness. I want to obey my Father. So now notice, if you would, in verse number 18, look at the last phrase. Now there is no more offering for sin. Verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. The debt's paid. That's the reason Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. No more lambs have to be slain. It's done. And the same way we get saved now in the New Testament, We look back to the blood of Jesus Christ and say, will you forgive me? And we use faith. In the Old Testament, they said, Lord, here's my lamb. I exercise my faith until the perfect lamb comes. So salvation has always been by faith. Nothing else. Notice with me, if you would, let's go back quickly and we'll wrap up tonight. But notice, if you would, see in the outline, this is Roman numeral 2C, God even destroyed the gods of Egypt that night. Look in Exodus, if you would, chapter 12. And notice with me, if you would, verse number 12. He says this, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So he destroyed the gods, the idols of all the land of Egypt that night. So you'll notice in verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token of the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So when the Lord sees the blood of Jesus Christ upon me because I asked for it, there's no condemnation to me. I'm perfect in his sight. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. It was a gift to me. I got it by asking. And you can have the gift of eternal life tonight the exact same way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's why you don't pray to a priest. He's a sinner like you. You don't tell me, because I'm a sinner like you. You've got to tell the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and ask him for forgiveness. I can sit down with you and bring you right up to the point of trusting Christ as Savior. But I can't pray for you. Oh, I can pray for you to understand and to pray for yourself. But your prayer is what washes away your sin. Your prayer to Jesus Christ is what causes him to say, your sins are forgiven. Your debt is paid. It is finished for you forever. And your name is written in the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14. So it's important that everybody in this room get your name in the book. And the only way you do that is by praying to Jesus Christ, confessing your sin to him, believing in your heart. The Israelites believed. The Egyptians did not believe. The Egyptians lost family. The Israelites did not. Notice Roman numeral 3 in the outline. God blessed Israel by letting them receive the wealth of the Egyptians. Remember, they asked for, could you loan me this? Could you loan me that? And they said, here, you can have it. Just get away from us. God will always bless us if we fully obey him. You want the blessing of God on your life? Obey him. You want the blessing of God on your life? Seek to please him, because he never forgets obedience. It's always blessed of God. It's throughout Scripture, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21:22. Obedience is always blessed. Disobedience is always punished. Keep in mind, obedience is the way to the heart of God. Tonight, let's have the blessing of God in our life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. And I hope that tonight you've connected the dots between the Old Testament sacrifice and the New Testament cross and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And why now everybody in the world can be saved. And you can too. Father, tonight, would you open our eyes more and more to the clear salvation that you provided for all of us. Not a one of us deserves it, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, that's a gift from you. And I'm so grateful to the Lord. 56 years ago, I trusted you as my Savior, and that has made all the difference. Now, Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. I pray that you'd help us to see that obedience is close to the heart of God, and He always blesses because of it. Hear our prayers tonight, dear Lord, as we pray to you. In your name we pray. Amen.